Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, to the Sandy and Bob show for November 5th, 2019. We have a very special guest today that's going to open the eyes of many people, it's a worldwide program, and our special guest is Matt Landman, and I will introduce Matt in just a moment. But before I do, I'd like to remind all our listeners that it's very important that you connect with the real guides from the All Is, and you do that by singing New You, and you can sing it like New You, and you need to do that for 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes at night, every day, and ask the real guides to show you what's real. They will show you everything that Matt is talking about today is all true, and when you connect, you have the opportunity to step up and share this information with other people, and it will change your life so wonderfully to the positive that I would say it would knock your socks off. Now, to introduce Matt Landman, I will have my wife, Sandy, read a little bit of background for Matt, and we'll start the show with that, Matt. Here's my wife, Sandy.
Hi, everyone. Our guest today is, my husband Bob said, is Matt Landman, who grew up on the East Coast and relocated to California back in 2003, where he worked in finance and studied film at the California State University of Humboldt and earned a master's degree in business administration with a focus in strategic sustainability in 2010. After various careers in business and finance, Matt left the corporate world to be an organic farmer, where he inadvertently began his career as an activist. Working outdoors and dependent upon the elements, Matt witnessed weather engineering in Northern California as the region suffered from a historic and catastrophic drought. The realization that the weather was being manipulated via atmospheric aerosol dispersal changed Matt's life forever as he inevitably decided to devote his existence to exposing the hidden agenda. He is the director of the film Frankenskies, which is a film about the solar engineering governance regime, and it can be viewed at frankenskiesthemovie.com and is also available on YouTube. He is also the founder of Actual Activist at actualactivist.com. He joins us here today to discuss what is happening in our skies, what it means, the relationship of geoengineering in the California fires, and the focus of his new film, which is in the making, as well as solutions to the personal health and spiritual challenges we face in a world subject to weather engineering as a covert operation, and how we can most effectively educate others about a world event, that of geoengineering and its multifaceted layers, which has been in various stages of operations for decades, yet which the mainstream media has censured from public awareness. I'll hand it over to Matt now.
Welcome, Matt.
Hi, Robin.
To the show.
Hello. Hey, thanks so much. Great introduction. I really appreciate you having me on.
Well, I don't know where to start. You've done such a fantastic job. We watched your movie, and I have to say that there is nothing so convincing, and the research you did of the background of chemtrails and everything that they've done in the skies, what you've done is just awesome. I mean, it's just it's beyond compare, and I thank you very much for stepping up and sharing that with everybody. So I don't know where to start. Where would you like to start sharing your information?
Well, usually whenever I get going on this, I try to firstly explain to people that I'm just a normal guy. I'm not a out there conspiracy-oriented type person. I didn't come from money or anything. I didn't have the luxury of choosing this because I was financially stable or anything like that. I'm from Virginia, like your intro said, and I just happened to see something. And then it was reinforced by a friend actually just telling me to look up the word chemtrail. I didn't really realize what I was witnessing. I was just there and witnessing. And what I witnessed was weather modification. I was working on a farm in Northern California. Like you said in the intro, I got a master's in business. I worked in finance. I was a finance analyst. I worked in so many different jobs, so many different careers, all of them based in money, of course, and greed and all these things. And being grounded and working on a farm, I thought I could, you know, connect with different elements that I had never before been exposed to. And I did exactly that. My first day on an organic farm, I learned how disconnected that I really was, disconnected from the earth, from the sky, from the all of the elements, and even the process of the seed. We're not told about the abundance and the power of life and the seed, and even that potatoes grow potatoes. And I like to say this a lot because I was 33 years old. I had graduated top of my class with a master's in business. I had a bachelor's of science in marketing management. I had gone to what they claim to be the best public education school system in the country, in Fairfax County public schools. They claimed they were the best. And after all of this, are you still there? There's some interference. There, it's gone. Are you still there?
I'm sorry, I lost you for a second. I had an incoming call. I just keep going, Matt. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, it's fine. Yeah, it was just coming in as interference. So once I first learned that literally potatoes grew potatoes by working on a potato farm, I realized that I had such a disconnect to so much that I never even knew that potatoes under my sink or in my closet, in my food pantry, that they were actually just trying to grow. And had I planted them in the ground, that they would grow potatoes. Like, there's so much. There was a disconnect that I learned very recently about cilantro. I actually grew a garden, and I had cilantro, and the cilantro went to seed. It produced seeds, and the seeds were actually coriander, a seed that I'd used to cook, and I'd been exposed to for decades, and I never knew that coriander and cilantro were so intimately connected. I mean, the cilantro, the coriander seed actually grows cilantro. So as a farmer, I learned how disconnected that I was, and then we were in the midst of a catastrophic four-year drought, and on the edge of this massive storm system where we were expecting finally a reprieve from the drought, from this, the region was stricken with drought, and little did I know that it was because of the weather engineering, weather modification agenda, this ongoing agenda that hardly anybody knows about. Well, what I witnessed was in this very rural area where there's very sparse air traffic, on the edge of this massive storm, all of a sudden we had a statistical anomaly. A bunch of airplanes showed up, about 20. And they grid the sky with these persistent lines coming out of the back of the plane. And they were only there on the edge of this storm. They came and they left, and the uptick in air traffic never revealed itself until maybe another storm came. And I started to watch this pattern and come to find out after I did the research and learned, because these storms came and didn't drop any rain. That was the big aha moment for me. So come to find out, if you spray aluminum on incoming storms, you can dissipate the moisture. And it's the opposite of cloud seeding. You can make it not rain. There's all this talk of California fires and this drought, and people know that we can make it rain on ski resorts and seed clouds, and there's been cloud seeding all the way back to the 1920s in San Diego when a professor by the name of Hatfield, he actually flooded San Diego with his first rain manipulation, rainmaking experiment in the town. The city of San Diego, even though they'd hired him to make it rain, they sued him because he actually burst the dams. He made it rain so hard. So the ability to control the weather has been honed in on and perfected since as early as the 1920s and even before then. So the technology is there, but people just don't realize that we can use it to our advantage to alleviate drought and all these other things because the information is controlled. So I just like to try to convey to people that I'm a normal guy that just happened to wake up to the truth, and on that, in that light, I shifted my journey completely. Yes.
Well, I just want to add what you just said. In the 1990s, my brother Mike went down to Mexico to visit some friends down there, not too far from Mexico City. They lived out in the country on a big farm. And as he was driving down the back roads, there were signs up, billboards up all over the place, said, "We will, for $5 an acre, we will give you 1 inch of rain on your crops." And it was a Russian company advertising. So if you had and this was in the 90s, so if you had 5,000, let's say you had 1,000 acres, for $5,000, you could get one inch of rain on your crop, thanks to the Russian technologies. They actually advertise.
I don't doubt it. There's actually advertisements that if you want to, for instance, ensure that your wedding day does not get rain, if you have the money, you can ensure that you have a sunny wedding outdoors. As long as you have enough money, you can buy sunshine. But only if you have enough money. I looked it up recently. It's about $250,000 for 1 day of sunshine. So if you've got that kind of money, you can do just about anything. And if you can control the weather, you can essentially control the world. And that's what my film really displays. I'm screening the film, my film Frankenstein is upcoming, in the town that I live. And a local student, climate science student, told me that they were going to come watch the movie and that they were going to fact check everything in my film. And I thought about it. There's nothing to fact check. This is historical military stock footage just put in order, in chronological order, showing the timeline, the evolution of the technology to get us to where we're at. There's no way you can watch this film and not embrace the obvious truth that the weather can be controlled, and it likely is. So that's really the revelation I want to bring to people is the truth is completely hidden, especially this agenda to control the weather, to control the skies, to geoengineer the skies, to prevent us from getting our light source, our sunlight. I mean, this is the biggest thing we could ever deal with in our lifetime, in my opinion.
You know, speaking of, you talk a lot about, in your movie, you show all the spraying and stuff. And around 1992, a friend of mine in the northern Illinois area introduced me to Tom Bearden. Tom Bearden is kind of known for his advanced scientific technologies. And she showed me a video that Tom Bearden had done. And at one point in his life, he was sent over to Russia to study the scalar technology that the Russians were using to alter the weather, and they use scalar technology. And for anybody that doesn't know anything about scalar technology, you need two antennas or two or more antennas, and you transmit a signal on a certain frequency, and then you have another antenna, you send a transmission where the two signals cross. What the Russians were doing is they were sucking the energy out of the atmosphere, and they could take an area that was, let's say the outside temperature was 90 degrees, within seconds they could drop the atmospheric temperature down to below zero Fahrenheit, and any moisture in the air would condensate immediately into rain. And he made a video of it that I watched, and that was around 1992. So it's just absolutely fabulous what they can do to affect weather. And actually, not too long after that, I'll share this story. There was a United Airlines captain who took off from Los Angeles. And he was an old-timer, and this was, I'm not sure if this was in what year this was, but he took off from Los Angeles with a full load of passengers in a 747, And as he was climbing up the altitude, about 35,000 feet, on his way to Hawaii, he was about 200 miles southwest of Los Angeles when he saw what he thought was an atomic bomb going off. All of a sudden, the sky, just a massive explosion, just like an atomic bomb balloons across the sky and has a mushroom cloud. It had exactly the same appearance as an atomic bomb going off. And he was trained as a military pilot. He was trained when he saw one of those was to take the aircraft, do an immediate 180 and dive the aircraft at maximum speed to save the aircraft from the impact of the explosion. And he did that, and he set off all the oxygen masks in the airplane, and he had to go back to LAX and land, and they had to regroup and schedule another flight to Hawaii. Well, anyway, it turns out that what's interesting is when they use these scalar weapons, when they suck all the energy out of one part of the sky and make the temperature drop, they have a lot of stored energy, and they have to get rid of that stored energy. And so what they will do is they will use the technology to dump. They usually take that all the heat that they took out of the atmosphere, and they dump it out in the ocean, usually the Pacific Ocean, where you won't see it. And that's what they did at the time of this flight. They put all that heat energy out into the ocean, and that's what made it look like an explosion, an atomic bomb going off. So that finally came out, and it was in all the papers in Los Angeles of the time. So it's really, really interesting. All these things, there's bits and pieces of it everywhere if people would just pay attention. All right, go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no, and that's a great story. The global agenda to convince the world that climate change and global warming is heating the planet. Now, not only is the heating of the planet completely controversial, like the points on the graph to say, oh, look, the planet is heating, those points have been either falsified or fabricated, or heat waves have actually been created through means like this scalar technology and NEXRAD and HARP and ionospheric heaters. It's all about the same thing, the use of frequencies to have intersecting frequency waves to heat or cool and manipulate the atmosphere. And like you said, you end up with this heating. The agenda at hand through this globalist solar geoengineering governance regime, the self-proclaimed regime of globalist elitists, they claim that they have exclusive rights to dimming our sun, as they point to us as the reason for the supposed heating. Well, there's so many scientists that say there's no heating going on at all. But if there is any heating, it's not because of our carbon. It's not because we exhale carbon. It's not because our cars emit carbon, you know? And no one will ever, like, really point the finger and say, well, you exhale carbon, human beings exhale it. But the guilt trip is so deep that we know deep down inside, and that's why every person feels so bad about this, because of the manipulation through the media with skinny polar bears, whereas the polar bear population is thriving. You know, they pluck these emotional heartstrings and say it's your fault that sea levels are rising. Sea levels aren't even rising. I live on the coast in California. We have a marsh. We have stretches of beaches. We have all sorts of ecosystems that thrive at zero sea level. The tides come in, the tides go out. Zero sea level has not changed 1 millimeter. You can go anywhere on Earth and zero sea level has not changed. There's erosion. Erosion is a thing. Sand wars exist. Dubai comes and steals sand from islands and stuff like that and creates island cities and whatnot. So there's theft of sand and there's erosion. But rising sea levels because of global warming or melting ice caps or anything like that, that's all fabricated falsehood, Hegelian dialectic problem reaction solution to create this fear-mongered problem so that we can react in fear, and then so that they can spoon-feed the programmed, mind-controlled, socially engineered populace to be convinced that the dimming of the sun through geoengineering campaigns although potentially catastrophic, they're somehow convinced that this is okay because of this massive guilt trip. But if you go back and really look at it, any heating of the planet that's on a level that we should be concerned with is coming from this technology that's covert, hidden, and not even being discussed. I've witnessed firsthand massive heat waves. And then the front page of the newspaper where I live is saying, oh, global warming heat waves, oh, global warming, you should be scared. But I see a campaign with dozens and dozens of drones and planes mixing chemicals in our skies. The entire verbiage has actually been completely hijacked. There's no such thing as a contrail anymore. The entire term contrail is a con. This is termed by the powers that be as a precursor gas. Different gases are mixed in the atmosphere, different chemicals. Okay, they're mixed together. You've got barium, salt, and aluminum, oxide, titanium, and strontium, and cadmium. All these different things have to be mixed together, charged different ways, and then zapped with frequencies to electrify metallic dust, nanoparticulate dust that's laid out in these chemtrail operations. And then they superheat this dust, and the chemicals mix together. Some of the chemicals are positively, some of the chemicals are negatively charged. They mix together, and then they're electrified. And at times, they heat the atmosphere to near the temperature of the sun. So if you want to talk about global warming, then you're not talking about this ionospheric heater, NEXRAD, HARP, scalar frequency manipulation, Tesla technology, utilization of this tech. We can't even have the conversation. The massive elephant in the room isn't even being discussed. And then we're talking about carbon capture and a global carbon tax and geoengineering, which is now being publicly launched and publicly accepted somehow. There's a smear campaign saying chemtrails, a massive ongoing smear campaign for decades, saying chemtrails are not real. But then with the exact imagery that they use to tell you chemtrails aren't real, they're saying geoengineering is the solution. We're going to equip planes and spray aluminum, barium, strontium metals in your atmosphere to deflect your sunlight and dim your sky. And they claim once they start, they can't stop. But in reality, they started 30 years ago. So really, we're backpedaling now in this awareness activism front, and it's so important for people to not just acknowledge the truth, but to embrace it with integrity, to bring it forward to your friends, family, peers, the next generation, and really let this light shine so we can get some scrutiny, transparency, and maybe some truth on this.
Well, man, let me interject.
Go ahead. Go for it.
I discovered something interesting. Oh, a few weeks ago, I was listening to a guy on Coast to Coast, and he said he deleted his Google search engine off his computer because he can't find anything. And I use Google as a search engine, I can't even find myself. I'm doing a Google search, and this one guy recommended to switch to something else. Don't use Google, because Google names, their search engines purposely restrict the truth of what's out there on the internet. And I switched to another search engine, and I immediately came up with I did a search for chemtrails, and I immediately came up with a website I never heard of before, and the name of it is I'm not sure I like the word, but it's aircrap.org, aircrap.org. And when you go on that website, the guys who did that website actually have photographs of the Air Force pilots that do the chemtrails, and their flight uniform that they wear has a picture of a four-engine jet with chemtrails coming out of the engines of the aircraft that's posted on the front of their flight suit.
It's a decal.
And it's like a decal. And so I know that when you tell people this and just do a Google search, well, stop saying use a Google search, start using other search engines. And people will start finding all this stuff. All right, go ahead, Matt.
Oh, yeah, I can't agree more. I've seen the Google shift completely, I mean, the Google search completely shift into a different world. If you look up chemtrail activists, you won't find my name. I've actually spearheaded the global movement, and I have the conferences and the movie, and I have the followers online, 45,000 followers on Facebook. As far as I'm concerned, I'm the top chemtrail activist on the planet, and if you put in chemtrail activist, you can't even find me in there on the Google search. But if you do something like DuckDuckGo is one, yeah, the information is completely different. I was looking up some information because I have this website, actualactivists.com. Yeah, please check out my website. I have an EMF protective clothing brand that I've just launched, Sparrow, S-P-E-R-O, which is a Latin word for I hope, sparrowprotectionclothing.com. I've got frankenskiesthemovie.com. I've just launched a crowdfund, gofundme.com/frankenskies2 for my sequel that I'm raising money for so I can get the sequel out there to get the modern day explanation, because the Frankenskies film, it goes from 1922 to 2017, and that's when it's released. But between 2017 and now, so much information has come out and been released, and so many things have happened that a whole new movie could encompass just the past 2 years, so I need to come up with that now. So the Google searches, I have this actualactivists.com where I was doing a daily blog, a daily truth, and getting 1,000 people every day going to the website, which is much better than the censored social media platforms, because sometimes I post on Facebook, and even with 45,000 followers, if Facebook doesn't want it to be viewed, if it's inspirational or encouraging, stuff like that, it's seen by zero people. It just sits there stagnant and blank, and it's obvious that they want seen what they don't want seen. If I do fear-mongering type stuff, and it kind of scares people, and it's got some basis in fear, Facebook makes it go viral. You know, it's pretty obvious what they want and what they don't want to get out there. But then I see other people with a similar followership as me, and they're posting whatever. It doesn't matter what they post. It's just they're worried about me because I'm actually a threat. Other people, they're posting things about kitties and their pumpkins and their dinners, and it's got a million hits. You know what I mean? So the Google search, I was doing daily...
Say again your website. Tell everybody your website name again, please.
Actualactivists.com. The impetus of actualactivistsplural.com was that there were people out there saying that they were actual activists, and they were actually controlled opposition, working for government entities, CIA, FBI, Bechtel, energy conglomerates, Department of Energy, all these different people weren't actually activists, and you can see it in their actions. I mean, don't listen to me, just judge a tree by its fruits, right?
Okay, Matt, spell it, because some people that listen to the show don't have as clear audio as we really would like, so please spell your website for everybody.
Actual, A-C-T-U-A-L, activist. activists.com. So,
okay,
and then
right.
also the impetus of the website Actual Activists was to bring to light what activism really is. And it's not just sitting on the computer and liking stuff. It's getting out in the real world and actually getting active, the double act and act. And on that website, I disclose and research a lot of different stuff, one of them being this new wave of Google information. The truth has been completely flipped on its head. So a year ago, I was researching on Google and exposing different things like the negative health implications of drinking Coca-Cola all the time. And we all know Coca-Cola is not that good for you. It's not good for you at all. We've all heard, or maybe you haven't, but there's studies putting a penny in a glass of Coca-Cola, and over a few days, children do these science experiments. Over a few days, the penny corrodes and even disappears because it's so acidic, right? You can use Coca-Cola to even get the corrosion off of your battery of your car, right? It's so acidic, it helps clean off rust. And so I did a little research, and I was going to expose some Coca-Cola. I put in Coca-Cola unhealthy into Google search like I had done throughout my life. And the top Google searches, all of the information that I could find on the first page of Google was explaining how healthy Coca-Cola is. And it said that there were Coca-Cola-funded studies that showed that Coca-Cola is actually more hydrating than water. So they did a double-blind research study with different human participants in a human research study where humans drank equal amounts of water and Coca-Cola. And they were studied throughout the day and over weeks. And as they drank water versus Coca-Cola, the people would retain more Coca-Cola and urinate more water, meaning they were retaining more of the Coca-Cola than the water is what they're saying. And the study was concluded that Coca-Cola is therefore more hydrating than water. So Coca-Cola is more hydrating than water, according to Coca-Cola-funded research. And that's now at the top of the Google hits on Google. So if you want to find, is Coca-Cola healthy, well, that's what you're going to learn. That's the new information. And the fact that the Google searches can change so drastically, 1 year ago that wasn't what it would say when I put those words into that same search bar. So literally the truth is being flipped on its head. And in this age of lies and falsehoods, it's really an amazing opportunity for us to hone in on our ability to discern and really trust our guts and really get deep into honoring our intuition. Instead of taking authority as the truth, we can take truth as the authority and learn how to see the fake news, the disinformation, the propaganda for what it is, and to really honor and respect truth with integrity, because as we enter into this age of further falsehood, we're going to be left with just our discernment. We can't trust the mainstream media. It's been so coverted and co-opted and bought out that as long as we are normal people in society just living our lives, we're going to be flooded with lies and treason and falsehoods, and we have to learn a way to wade through these waters.
Well, Matt, can I interject something else here? And that's, you know, it's almost impossible to find the truth out there. Excuse me. And that's why the Real Guides from the All Is are here. One of the things they do is show you what is real. They will, in your dream state or otherwise, all you have to do is sing New You for 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes at night, and before you go to sleep at night, just ask Real Guides, show me what's real about all this stuff, and they will cut through everything. I mean, every single lie will be exposed if you ask the question for the Real Guides, because they live on the real side of life, and they know exactly what's going on. And so that's an avenue that people can use to find the truth. It's even better than doing an internet search, because they will answer any specific question you have. They will either do it in a dream state when you go to sleep at night, or they will show you during the next day or within a couple of days. They will bring it to your attention, the exact answer that you're looking for. So the Real Guides are doing a fantastic, wonderful thing for the human population.
That's terrific. Did you want to go towards 5G or talk more about the reasons behind it?
Sure, yeah. Especially 5G, Matt. Yeah, tell us what you can about 5G.
I mean, they're both on the same vibration of truth, which I firmly believe that as you start resonating with the vibration frequency of truth, that all these other truths become self-evident. So all of them are kind of all-encompassing, and they're all so interconnected. And if you start to realize that you're a spiritual being having a human experience, then you start to see the importance of frequency and vibration and really honoring, you know, who you are and why you're here and what you came here to do and all that sort of stuff. So the geoengineering campaign It gets really deep, and a lot of it has to do with disrupting our elevation of consciousness, our progression as a species towards evolution of consciousness. If you dismantle our light source, you can dismantle our evolution in an attempt to push this weird transhuman agenda to disconnect us from source, to disconnect us from our evolution towards spirituality, and then push us towards an evolution towards machine and transhuman agenda and all this sort of stuff. So awareness of this and then rejection of this is so important. And then all of this agenda, it really relies on this dystopian 5G rollout that we're witnessing right here before our eyes. A lot of people don't even know what 5G is. What 5G is it's the radio wave spectrum being utilized to its fullest extent as a weapon. Okay, and the radio wave spectrum is how we carry invisible information in our lives. We've got AM waves, FM waves, Wi-Fi, radio waves, cell phone waves that are all on the radio wave spectrum, smart meters, Bluetooth, all of the invisible carrier waves that we carry data with, even baby monitors and cordless phones. It all utilizes what's called the radio wave spectrum, which is actually just light. It's just light that we can't see. So just like our visual spectrum only includes this rainbow of red, orange, yellow, blue, indigo, violet, on the edge of this color spectrum, actually, there's even colored light that we cannot see because of our limited visual perspective. So just larger than a red light wave is infrared, and just smaller than a violet light wave is ultraviolet. The size of the light wave really matters. When I talk about size, I talk about the distance between each peak or the length of the wave. So a slightly larger wavelength than red is infrared, and infrared is all around us, but we cannot visually see it with our eyes. And just like that, a different size, like a smaller or larger wave, and we have all this different technology that's all around us, and it all travels at the same speed of light. It all has the properties of light, and it actually is light. Radio waves are light. And some of this is so simple that the information is kept from us, because if we knew it so simply and could honor the truth, then we'd be so empowered and inspired that we could really take this truth to our friends, family, and peers and really do something about it and reject a part of it that's harmful, which is the carrier wave that is 5G. So the radio wave spectrum, the largest radio wave on the radio wave spectrum is 1,000 feet, and the smallest is 1 millimeter. We're talking the size of the wavelength. The 1 millimeter size wave is so small that it impacts our cellular biology, and it actually absorbs into us, absorbs into everything, because it's such a small wave. It's like a microwave, and that's how microwaves even work. When you heat up your food in the microwave, the small wave is absorbing into the water in your food and heating it, microwaving it. So the largest radio wave is the AM radio wave, which is 1,000 feet in wavelength. And because of its size, it can go great distances. It can actually travel miles and miles off of a mountainside. And imagine that AM radio tower as actually like a massive spotlight. The light is shining so far, and then you can pick up that light on your radios. So that AM radio wave being 1,000 feet in wavelength, it can travel great distances, and it goes right through us, right through everything because of its size. And it doesn't impact our cells, doesn't give us cancer and all that sort of stuff. And we don't even have to be right next to the cell tower. They're quite some distances away. The FM wave is 10 feet tall, FM radio wave. The FM wave is harmless, it goes through us, all sorts of stuff like that. The Wi-Fi wave, the Bluetooth, all the technology that we utilize currently, the waves are large enough that they do not impact us severely, and they actually go through walls and humans and trees and water and bugs and bees and all sorts of stuff. But the absolute smallest radio wave is the 1 millimeter size wave. To give you perspective, a penny a penny, the coin, the penny, the copper penny, it's 1.5 millimeters thick. So smaller than the width of a penny is 1 millimeter, and that's the size of this new wave of technology, the 5G. And it's the absolute smallest. It's the smallest radio wave possible for transmission of data, and it doesn't travel very far at all. It actually absorbs into people and clouds and everything. So this talk of 5G satellites, complete disinformation, misinformation, falsehoods, lies, treason. Okay, 5G satellites do not exist. The talk of 6G, 10G, 7G, all these other Gs after 5G, falsehoods, propaganda, lies, misinformation, social engineering. It's disinformation so as to disempower and take away your inspiration, because why fight 5G if 10G is coming? There's no such thing as 10G. There's no such thing as 6G. It might be called that, but it has nothing to do with the progression of radio wave technology. You can't get any smaller, and that's what the progression talks about, is the size of the wave. So the 5G wave, because it's so small, it requires a cell phone, small cell, they call it a small cell phone tower. It requires a tower every 500 feet everywhere, wherever this 5G is going to exist. So that means right outside your bedroom window. That means right outside your kid's school, the playground, everywhere. And these 5G towers are said to emit 1,000 times more radiation than the current 4G towers. Why does it emit so much radiation? Well, it's got to emit a lot of energy to push such a small wave, and it still can only push that small wave a short distance because it's so small, and it absorbs in everything that it comes into contact with. So the 5G cell phones and the 5G Internet of Things, like your toaster oven and your smart TV and your baby diapers and your refrigerator, they're all going to propagate this 1 millimeter size wave. That means constant monitoring of everything that you do. That means actually it's like being inside of an airport body scanner 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the rest of your life. So I'm creating a clothing line to prevent accumulation of this deadly radiation, and hopefully we can have a generation of people who can procreate, because it's this depopulation agenda. A child conceived, born, and raised in a 5G environment will not be able to procreate. It is a depopulation, very evil agenda. So I'm creating maternity wear, baby blankets, baby clothing, T-shirts, men's underwear, hats, cell phone cases. I'm launching all these different items. I've got hats right now that are very effective, especially with people who have EMF sensitivities. All on my website, sparrowprotectionclothing.com. That's S-P-E-R-O, protection, clothing. Sparrow is the brand. It's a Latin word for hope, because the catchphrase is wherever there's hope, there's always a silver lining. And all of the garments, all of the apparel are lined with the silver technology that has actually been utilized in Israel, Korea, China, and Japan for decades to protect their children and pregnant women and men's underwear, all these different items. They use the silver material, which deflects. It acts as an armor. It deflects radiation from current and future technologies of these radio waves. So by easily understanding what a radio wave is, then we can segue into understanding what blue light is and why blue light is bad and harmful, and why and how we can very easily mitigate our impacts from blue light and EMF and all this stuff. So the size of these waves, of these light, really, really matter. Because as the size of the waves approach the light that we're used to, like sunlight, if our bodies think that it's sunlight, even though it's not visual light that we can see, it's still light. And if our bodies think that it's sunlight, our bodies can get very easily confused. And what we have is this thing called a circadian rhythm. It's our biological clock. And our biological clock is very sensitive, and it's set to the sky clock. Our body knows when the sun goes up, when the sun goes down. Our body knows when it's 11:55 p.m. And at these exact certain moments throughout the day, while we're sleeping, while we're awake, at 1:22 a.m., at these certain times, different chemicals are processed, cortisol, dopamine precursors, melatonin, serotonin, dopamine, all these things. It's very important for our biological clock to be in tune, and it's set to the Schumann's resonance, which is 7.83 hertz. So there's this certain tune to which our body is set to this clock called the circadian rhythm. It's very important that it's tuned perfectly, or our bodies will get disrupted and we won't be producing certain chemicals like melatonin, serotonin, things that make us happy and whatnot. And even our endocrine system, our hormonal system, is all set to this clock. So I'll pass it on in just a moment, but this is very important information. So we've got complex fluorescence, these CFL light bulbs. We've also got LED light bulbs. These are actually very toxic, very problematic. The CFL twirly light bulbs, they're actually full of mercury. They're very poisonous, and they flicker on and off at a rate of about 10,000 times per second. So the reason why they're energy efficient is because they're basically off 10,000 times per second. But in doing so, they disrupt our bodies. They flash on and off. They actually put us in a trance, and they emit blue light. So especially LED lights, and these LED street lamps are actually very predatory, in my opinion. We need to get these blackout curtains so that these LED blue light diode emitting street lamps aren't leaking all the blue light into our bedrooms while we're trying to sleep. Because even though we don't see that it's this bright blue light, it's basically like this. Ultraviolet light is not this bright purple light that we can see. It does cause harm. It burns our skin and can burn our eyes. It comes off the sun. And our bodies know, you know, that the sun is up because of this ultraviolet light. It's not this bright purple light, you know, but we just can't see it. It's there. We can't see it. Just like blue light. It's not going to be this bright, bright blue light coming off of the street lamps. We don't see all of the blue light, but there's a lot of blue light there, and our bodies confuse it as sunlight because blue is so close to ultraviolet. So these blue light emitting diodes coming off of these LED lamps, LED street lamps, all these things, the disruption from the blue light is especially worse at night because then your body thinks that it's daytime again, right? So our bodies are set to this clock, the circadian rhythm, this clock, and it's important for our bodies to know when the sun sets, and then our bodies start to get ready to produce different chemicals that are only produced at night, like serotonin and melatonin and whatnot. So if you're, for instance, staring at your computer screen at night, the computer screen, the tablets, the smartphones, they also emit a lot of blue light. You can get a blue light filter. There's all sorts of apps. And this is a very good way of learning about how disruptive blue light can be and how you can actually help yourself from getting good night's sleep and also preventing yourself from being depressed and whatnot. There's a reason why teen suicide is going through the roof, and I'm going to get there. So the blue light coming off of your screens from your tablets, from your smartphones and all that, it disrupts your biological clock, and it basically tells your body that it's noon, that the sun is out, that it's bright. And then if your body thinks that it's noon, in like 5 hours, it's going to be 5 p.m. It's not going to be late at night when your body creates these different chemicals. So your body won't create these late-night chemicals. It'll always be thinking that it's daytime because you're staring at the blue light right before bed, and then you get up and you're in sunlight in the morning, and your body will never get to that point where it's 2 a.m. and it's time to produce melatonin and serotonin, certain things that are produced in the middle of the night, such as things that make you happy, like dopamine and serotonin and melatonin. So there was a National Institute of Health research study. Very, very important. If you can grasp this research study, you can understand why 5G is especially bad, why EMF radiation is bad, why you shouldn't have your Wi-Fi router in your bedroom and on at night, why you should turn your phone on airplane mode at night and get that EMF radiation out of your bedroom at night and not have blue light at night especially, and learn about this for your children and your family and your peers. It's also important to keep your circadian clock going and in tune. So the National Institute of Health did a research study. And what was the phenomenon that it was studying was a statistical anomaly, a very high level of suicide amongst utility workers that were installing and working on cell phone towers, okay, 4G, 5G, 3G cell phone towers. So at any time of the day, these cell phone utility workers, 8 a.m., 8 p.m., they were going and working on these towers. But because the radiation coming off of these towers was so strong and the waves coming off were so small, the bodies of these utility workers, their bodies were thinking they were in bright, bright light. They had no other way to compute this. Our bodies have never, our ancestry has never been in this kind of radiation. Blue light, EMF, 5G, none of it. And all of it confuses our body and makes our body think that we're in bright sunlight. So the National Institute of Health did a random sample study of utility workers across the United States that worked on cell towers. They studied them for a short duration of this case study, and in this very short time frame of this random sample study, these random, and they weren't, they didn't know they were part of a study, they were just being randomly observed, 10% of this random case study committed suicide. Very, very high. To give you a perspective, the suicide in the United States, the rate is like 0.01%. So about 1,000 times more higher, we've got 10%, and 10% of this random case study was not only depressed, but they were so depressed that they were committing suicide. And then these people were studied, and it came to be concluded by this National Institute of Health, the NIH, research study, that these utility workers, their biological circadian rhythms, their biological clocks were being so thrown off, their bodies were not creating enough melatonin, serotonin, dopamine for them to stay happy enough to stay alive. So they were committing suicide. And it's just like that for blue light. If you keep looking at the blue light at night before bed, you keep throwing your clock off, and you don't have enough happy juices, and slowly but surely you will experience repercussions. It might not come in the form of depression. It might come in the form of hormonal imbalance or leukemia, or you never know what. But ultimately, it's very important to keep your clock in check and learn about this. And then in doing so, you can find a simple way to expose these important facts to your friends and your peers and your coworkers and all these things, because just getting blackout curtains because you have an LED out front of your window and all of a sudden you're not depressed, very much insightful and inspiring and empowering to just know how simple the truth really can be. I have an app on my computer called FLUX, and it just filters the blue light whenever I have it on. And I turn it on all the time, but it actually has a clock. And when the sun goes down, it says, we're turning on your blue light filter now, and the tint of the light coming off my computer gets more orange or yellow and less blue. So just that alone is a nice segue into learning how easy the truth really is, though it's shrouded with so much disinformation, misinformation, and really we should have learned all this in first grade. Hello?
Well, Matt, that is just absolutely wonderful information you're sharing with everybody. We have about just over half an hour left. Would you like to open it up to have people ask you questions?
Yeah, I'd love hearing from people. That would be great.
You know, is there anything else you want to go talk about before we open up the lines for everybody?
Well, I just want everyone to know that it's very easy to make rain. We can make rain on forest fires. We can make rain on drought-stricken regions. The technology is very much there. It doesn't even necessitate a cloud, which is just amazing. So all of this agenda of forest fires, when there's forest fires, there actually tends to be exacerbated, geoengineered, climate-engineered wind storms on top of these fires, which drastically make these fires grow and exacerbate them and even destroy towns. Now, the technology is there to not only quell these winds, but make rain on top of these fires. So the entire conversation, again, when we're having these conversations about global warming, about geoengineering, and the obvious elephant in the room is not even being discussed, we cannot have a discussion of forest fires in California or across the world or losing the power outages because of these winds. The conversation shouldn't even be had without watching the film Frankenstein or being an informed individual and knowing the control that is able to be had and likely is being had behind the scenes regarding the weather. And in that light, please, if you can share that I'm making a new movie, Frankenskies 2. I just bought the web domain for frankenskies2.com. That won't be up for a little while, but I am getting the pre-production together and getting the scheduling. I'm going to be interviewing different firefighters and farmers and activists and really getting this honed in. And I hope that it'll be even better than Frankenskies, the first movie, which you can see online for free at frankenskiesthemovie.com. But please, if you can support financially, or if you can just share or just spread the word any way you can, I have this GoFundMe that I've just recently launched, this crowdfund. It's at www.gofundme.com/frankenskies2. That's FrankenskiesKIES 2. Any help, any love, greatly appreciated. I really want to get this movie out as soon as possible, and I'm doing all I can with the EMF protection clothing line and the three websites and going on all the shows and making the conferences and making the next movie. I wish I could finance it on my own, but I can't. But all the information in the upcoming film is so critical and important because of especially the dimming of our sun and the fires agenda. Everyone needs to know the truth, and I'm looking forward to answering any questions from callers.
Say again your clothing website, because I think every listener is going to start buying those clothes for the radio wave protection. So tell us what that one is again.
It's Sparrow, S-P-E-R-O, Protection, P-R-O-T-E-C-T-I-O-N, Clothing, clothing.com. The brand is Sparrow, which is a Latin word, S-P-E-R-O, like Spiro, which translates to hope, because I'm hoping, I'm inspiring to bring hope to the next generation so that they don't have to suffer from the consequences of all this radiation so that they can just protect themselves. Right now I have hats, I have cell phone bags and maternity aprons, and soon as sales pick up, I'll be able to offer more, like the t-shirts and the hoodies and the men's underwear are coming very soon. But please check out the website and bookmark it, and thank you.
Oh, you're going to – I expect you're going to get some sales real quick now, Matt, including us. Yeah, we've been looking for quite some time trying to figure out how to block all this nasty stuff, and if you have clothing that's silver lined that'll do that, I mean, that's just absolutely wonderful. And thank you for coming up with that. All right, so I'd like to open up. We have quite a few listeners today, and I'd like you to open up for any questions for Matt. Anybody like to ask Matt a question?
Yeah, hi, Matt. Hi, Bob. This is Val from Huntington Beach. And, Matt, I was the one who contacted you on Facebook to set this up, so I really appreciate you coming on. It's great information. The knowledge is really needed. And we're part of a nonprofit. Bob mentioned some of what we do. And we basically promote, you could say, we promote awareness. So there's knowledge, and then the next step would be, we could say, awareness and recognition about what's really going on. So we try to take it the next step further beyond the knowledge part, which is, again, very, very useful and necessary. But what I'd like to do is to invite you, since you're a filmmaker, to see if you would consider doing a documentary on taking it a next step further, like taking it to where basically, you know, with the guidance, like Bob was saying, guidance of the real guides, with what we're doing with our nonprofit. Just let me back up a little bit. We're not political. We're not religious or spiritual or anything like that. We don't have an agenda, but we are just real with what's going on, just like you are. So we're just presenting this stuff, this information. So the invitation would be for you to make a documentary about just what's real, what's going on from a viewpoint that's really unique. It's never really been presented before in this planet. in a way that's, like you say, simple enough for people to get and that they could relate to. But I'll talk to you more about it. But since you are into the business of filmmaking, and it does get the word out in a real way, the documentaries, more so than just word of mouth, the visuals, everything that you do with it, it does make a big impact. So the invitation to consider working with us, we'd support each other financially and other ways to get this information out into the next step, where it would be a recognition or an awareness. And that may be a little bit beyond, you know, it's hard to understand that to the literal mind, but it's where we're going with this, because we know what's going on. We're sharing this as well. You're sharing it in a very eloquent way, refined way, which is wonderful. And it's tough to get through the consciousness of the people, because they are so programmed and indoctrinated. So again, the invitation to do something in the way of a documentary, where we could share more, you know, just share a unique perspective of what's going on. So I'll
Sounds
talk
great.
To you later about it. Thank you, man.
Yeah, I would love to.
Thank
I
you.
Would love. And you're welcome. And I would love to explore that. I think it's very important to find any way that we can to meet people where they're at, and the media, such as the documentary, is like the best way, or one of the best ways to do that, to reach a lot of people, because there's only so much eye contact you can make. Though I fully encourage getting out there and making eye contact. That's really what has inspired myself to keep on going, is seeing all the light and all these people, and seeing how many people are out there that are already on that page. The controlled media likes to tell you that you're alone, and then that disempowers you, and you don't embrace your spirituality or any of this inspiring evolution of the heart and consciousness that we're all going through, right? But the control, the social media and the control mechanisms, they want to tell you that you're alone, right? And it's so important to get the message out there that not only are you not alone, but there's so much more to learn and so much more to life. And yeah, I would love to explore that. And I do want to come down to Huntington Beach and do a talk on all this, and even a Frankenstein screening. It's been on my radar for a while. Huntington Beach and Santa Cruz, I just keep wanting to do it, and I just keep getting there's so much to do. So please keep me in mind.
Yeah, we'll set up a place for you down here in Huntington, so you can do the film and get together with it. Yeah, thanks, Matt.
Terrific. Yeah, bro.
Well, thank you, Val. Anybody else would like to say something or ask a question for Matt? Claudia, would you like to ask a question?
Yes, I was talking on mute. I just wanted to say, dear Matt, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm a grandmother in Texas, and I'm looking forward to purchasing the clothes and participating, donating to the movie. The research that you have done, you mentioned about going to a different search engine than Google. Could you share that with us, please?
Yes, and it's been an interesting journey for me. I was born in 1980, and I believe I've been really analyzing my life and what I feel like I've come here to do and all these sort of things, and I do believe that I'm on a mission. And I came in 1980, and the internet, when I was 18, I was learning about the internet. When I was 16, the internet was just coming out. When I went to university, it was all brand new. You know, so back when the internet first came out, for people that don't remember or don't know, there were dozens and dozens of different search engines. InfoSeek was one of them. There's a lot. And at that time, and this is how it works in free market capitalism, when there's not a monopoly, everyone has to kind of play by the rules. Because if one is lying, people are just going to migrate to the other one that's got the truth involved. But now that we've entered into this new timeline or dystopian reality where all of the money is being filtered to a select few, these monopolistic laws that should be keeping us safe, they're not being abided to. They're not being abided by. If they were, Monsanto would never have been able to buy Bayer. That's definition conflict of interest, you know. So either way, we're limited now, and I encourage any people out there that have the design ability to even make a small search engine or to support other ones. The one that I do, that's my lengthy explanation to DuckDuckGo, like the animal duck. DuckDuckGo, I think, is the name of the search engine. I think it's actually even a browser. Okay, and then you can, instead of doing Chrome, that's a browser, you can do Firefox, and then DuckDuckGo is the search. Yeah, DuckDuckGo. And I know it's a funny name, but that's what it is. It's DuckDuckGo. And I bet once you're on DuckDuckGo, you can probably search and find some other search bars, search engines. But yeah, now it's like, what do we have? We have Bing, which is Microsoft, which is Bill Gates, and he's a globalist, depopulationist, eugenist. He's actually been, he is the sugar daddy, they claim, of geoengineering. So for the past decade, he's been saying, yeah, I'm funding it, I'm the guy behind it, I've got the patents, and Harvard professor David Keith, I'm his sole financier. Not the Bill Gates, Melinda Gates Foundation, but Bill Gates. He is the sugar daddy of geoengineering. He is the financial backing, he claims, to be the one behind Demi and our son. And that's been going on since the mid-90s. So Chrome, that's him. Google, I mean, Chrome is Google. Bing is Microsoft. We don't want to support Bing. And then we don't want to support Google because that's just another massive monopoly. I wish I wasn't supporting Facebook, but I ended up with 45,000 followers on there, and I get severely censored. But still, I'm left with no option, which is really sad. I'm not really left with no option. I get out into the real world. I've reacted to and been inspired by the censorship, so I actually get out into the real world, and I encourage people to do so, because the control of information in the digital world, the way to combat that is using your voice as your weapon, spreading the truth in a grounded, calm manner to the people out in the world. You would never believe the amazing experiences I've had by going to a farmer's market with a very nice, colorful, perfected flyer and just talking about the weather. You know, nothing about chemtrails, all this, but the facts are there. The 1920s footage that the film Frankenskies even begins with, after you get to the 1930s, it's self-evident that the weather can and is controlled, you know? So, yeah, thanks for that question.
Well, thank you, Claudia. That was a good question. So DuckDuckGo, and I recommend that one for everybody. That seems to be a really, really good search engine. And I do, and I also agree with getting off of Chrome and all those other sites, which all they do is monitor you 24/7, and everything you say winds up in that big computer out in Utah. So I recommend not using Chrome either, but that's everybody's choice, I guess. So anybody else like to ask a question? Or maybe you have a story to tell. Please step in and tell us what you have.
Hi, this is Tim in Oregon. I had a dream vision last night about some of what you're talking about right now, about the radiation and the prevention of being radiated, like you're talking about the clothing. In this world, which we see as one of the places in the psychic realms, it just seems like the powers that be, whether they're radiating us, and even with the protection of the clothing, like you're attempting to provide to protect people from the radiation, how would we be protected from poison air and how they poison our water and the poisoning of our food? It just goes on and on with the vaccines and all these things in this physical realm. It seems like it needs to be mentioned about the real universes and to remember why we came here, that this is a human farming prison planet. You're probably aware of reptilian influence on Earth people and that kind of history that's become, people are becoming aware of right now. So I just see it as, no matter all these physical attempts that seem to be so important to so many, what is the real outcome? You're just going to be keep coming back to this earth? Is that what's important, to see it as a place where you're trying to, save this planet or make it better while we're here? But it seems like what I'm aware of from this new presentation is that all we're doing is trying to make the prison yard a little cleaner or better to be in, but we're still stuck in the prison yard. So what the new presentation is offering is the guidance through the real universal guides to get out of these psych realms and not have to reincarnate in the physical, that even with all our attempts, it looks like the view is that it's going to be wasted efforts in the physical, that it's all going to be getting worse and worse. So what do you have to say about those words?
I'm very happy that you asked the question and shared your thoughts, and I've got a response for that. Firstly, I don't know if you're in Southern Oregon, but on Thanksgiving Day, I'm co-hosting an event at the Ashland Wellspring called Activist Earthsgiving, an alternative to Thanksgiving, from 2 to 9 at the Jackson Well Hot Springs, the Wellsprings, and we'll have speakers and musicians all focused on truth and uplifting, unity, and potluck and all that sort of stuff. So if you're around Ashland and you can join, anybody, everyone's invited, please join us. And so the ultimate agenda is to, well, here's how I see it. I see humanity is on a timeline towards an elevation of consciousness, not just humanity, but everything on Earth. The entire plane of existence has this trajectory. And I believe that it's done it before, and it's going to do it again, where there's an elevation of frequency beyond physicality, where basically everything vibrates to a point where there's no physicality. It's, we're not that dense anymore. But while on our trajectory, there's evil forces that seem to be in the process of attempting to hijack our everything, our timeline, our destiny, our consciousness. But just like in my life, I saw the darkness to realize that there was light, and I do believe that the awakening of consciousness, that the evolution of consciousness, it might have to come with seeing the dark. But what we're here to do is to plant the seed of truth, even if we don't see all the seeds germinate and flower in our lifetime. Truth is a vibration, and that truth vibration can survive just about anything. So maybe there is a dystopian reality that we're on the cusp of, and maybe we're just here to plant this seed. But the elevation of consciousness, the heart opening, the oneness, all of that, it's our destiny. It's in our DNA. And whether we have to keep fighting in this physical realm to preserve truth so that it can finally, the seeds can finally be germinated and everyone can have this culmination of an experience to elevate their vibration together. When is that going to happen? I don't know. Are we forced to come back here? I don't know. I don't think that I've ever been here before. I don't think I'm coming back here either. I don't plan on building enough karma to have to come back. And actually, coming back might be a shit show, to be honest with you. So I think that shedding our karma here and getting past that and not coming back, I don't think there'll be anything to come back to. I think that the destiny of this realm is an elevation of consciousness. And that as long as we can vibrate together, shed our karma. But yeah, we're up against a lot. How can we defend ourselves? Through embracing knowledge and truth. So you talked about the chemtrails. Well, one thing that we can do is mineralize our body. There's all these different, we're blessed with ancient seabeds and forests that have been decomposed over time in Utah, and we have these plant-based minerals that we can get. They're usually called water remineralizers. And if you find the right ones in Utah, there's such a wide spectrum of minerals that they even include things like plant-based aluminum and strontium and barium and titanium and cadmium and all these things that are bad when they're in a heavy metal form and sprayed in our skies in a predatory fashion. But if we are up to speed on our minerals, like our magnesium, one important fact to even know is for every molecule of sugar that you ingest, it takes 54 molecules of magnesium to process one molecule of sugar. So it's just this little piece of truth. This is truth, high vibration. All these other truths can come with it if you start to resonate away from falsehood, away from all of these lies that we're filled with, and onto the vibration of truth, where all these other things reside, including our real timeline and our evolution of consciousness. So 54 molecules of magnesium are processed and depleted from your body every time you ingest one molecule of sugar. So if we're not up to speed on our magnesium, we're deficient in magnesium. A lot of us are deficient in magnesium. It's hard to get bioavailable magnesium. It's the central atom in the chlorophyll molecule, but not a lot of us are getting a lot of leafy green, you know, where chlorophyll is. So the majority of listeners are deficient in magnesium. Okay, we're not doing topical magnesium. We're not doing a lot of leafy greens, and we're not taking magnesium salt baths, and we're not even educated and empowered with the information to know that we are magnesium deficient because we do a spoonful of sugar here and there, whatever, or the honey or cane sugar or coconut sugar, whatever it is. We're still deficient in magnesium, and that's just one mineral. So while we're deficient in calcium and magnesium and all these other minerals, and then we're being sprayed with these chemicals in our air, in our food, in our water, our bodies are absorbing these toxic chemicals, heavy metals, with the hopes that there's something else that we need because they're similar to maybe calcium. So we're embedding radioactive strontium from the air, from the water, from our food. We're absorbing radioactive strontium into our bones because our bodies think that it's calcium because it's similar to calcium. Okay, then we've got in our bones radioactive strontium, but if we were just up to speed and not mineral deficient, if we had enough calcium in our bodies, we wouldn't even be absorbing it anyways. Not to mention, as we start to vibrate on a higher vibration, we will literally vibrate above all these things and all of these nefarious agendas that are attached to these evil people and beings, you know, interdimensional reptilians, whatever you want to call them. They have a negative vibration and they can only vibrate so high. We can vibrate way beyond their reality even exists. That's what they're afraid of. That's why they're pulling out all the stops to try to maintain their slave race to keep us emitting these frequencies of fear so they can keep us in this vibration. But it's in our destiny, it's in our hearts, and it's in our spirits to break out of it. So I think that mineralization, so that we can vibrate above it, like the noble elements, if you learn about Ormus and getting these minerals in us that are no longer in our food, no longer in our soil, that used to be, like monatomic gold and silver and palladium and all these things, and even the aluminum, if you've got plant-based aluminum in your mineral supplements that you're taking daily in your water, drops here, drop there, and then you're up to speed on your aluminum, which you never hear, you've got to be up to speed on your aluminum, but that is a mineral that used to be in our soil, and it's in our DNA, that we're electrical beings. These metallics are actually good for the conductivity of our body, but not the heavy metal toxic versions. So as long as we're up to speed on our aluminum, we're not absorbing the other aluminum from the environment and making our bodies toxic, and then having Alzheimer's and dementia and whatnot from the chemicals. We're not even absorbing them now because we're literally rising above it with the knowledge of truth.
Thanks for your ideas and information.
Well, thank you, Matt, and thank you, Bill, for asking that question. I'm sorry, Tim. And I could mention something else that as Val has mentioned, the name of the game is awareness. It's not knowledge. The name of the game is awareness. And one thing that people need to be aware of is we are living in what I would call a real-life simulator. We were great beings of light that came into the simulator to get experiences, and then after we have our experiences, then the real guides will show us how to go back to the real universes of the all-is from whence we came. And that's the name of the game, and that's why Violin and I are doing the show, and Sandy and our group of people. So I just want to share that with everybody. And Dwayne, the great writer, has written a lot of books along that line of stuff. But what you're doing is just fabulous. It's showing people that everything they've been taught is a lie, and that's one step toward awareness. So I just and Matt, just keep up the wonderful work. I got time for about one more question. Anybody else want to ask a question?
Yes, please. This is Claudia in Texas.
Claudia, go ahead, please.
My question is, getting a blender and blending up your leafy greens, because there's so much stuff coming down from the skies, the chemtrails, are we also ingesting the stuff from the chemtrails in our little juice and drink? And what can we do to counteract that? And thank you for all this information. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And I've heard that question before, of course, and I would never deter from eating fruits and vegetables, because organic fruits and vegetables or homegrown organic fruits and vegetables, because of the spray, you know, I mean, it's in our air. That doesn't mean we shouldn't go for a walk out in nature. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. And how can you help? Well, when you're blending, maybe include something that chelates so that it can help pull that out while maybe you're getting a little bit of it, if you are. So there's spirulina and chlorella, which these algae have these amazing cellular structures where their simple cellular structure has it so that they bond to and pull out these heavy metals. Also, these diatoms are very interesting. They're the skeletons of these ancient sea life called diatoms. And you can get food-grade diatomaceous earth. That does wonders. I've also done research on zeolite because of the way it's charged. This volcanic ash, you can put a little bit of that in your smoothie, and it helps pull things out. Cilantro, which I was talking about earlier, is amazing at pulling the metals out of your body. So I would recommend adding to your smoothie or whatever you're blending up a chelator that helps to bond to and pull the metals out of your body, just to play it it's safe. And then also, if you learn about the blood-brain barrier, by the age of 18 months, when we're a year and a half, we develop a blood-brain barrier. And if we can learn about the blood-brain barrier, we can learn about how to prevent the metals from getting into our brain. So, for instance, if you're a parent and you're considering vaccines, which you should not because vaccines have toxic ingredients in them, but if you are considering vaccines, at least consider that your child has a blood-brain barrier after the age of 18 months. Before 18 months, it's very important not to get toxins in your child's body because it can go right to their brain and impact their neurology permanently. So in that light, while looking at the blood-brain barrier, it's also important to know that 5G and EMF radiation, even a smartphone or even Wi-Fi, it breaks down your blood-brain barrier. A Navy research study, even in the late 70s, studied rats and put a dye in rats' brains and then exposed them to low levels of EMF, and the blood-brain barrier actually leaked, and the rats' brains would leak the dye into the rest of the blood and vice versa. The blood-brain barrier can be compromised from EMF radiation. So we need to mitigate our exposure to EMF radiation, mitigate our exposure to metals such as the aluminum in different foods, aluminum in baking soda or in our deodorant or even like our skincare and our sunscreen. Avoiding these chemicals is very important. If you have fluoride in your toothpaste, very important that you stop doing that. For your teeth, the best thing that you can do is rinse with coconut oil in the morning. I have removed massive cavities in my mouth from just swishing with coconut oil twice a day. I don't brush. I don't use toothpaste. I just do coconut oil twice a day, 20 minutes. I swish it around. It eats up bad bacteria and lets the good bacteria thrive. And really, it's this healthy microbiology, just like in your stomach. It goes all the way up your throat into your even your brain has this microbiology, but also your mouth has the same kind of environment that you want to keep healthy. And rinsing with mouthwash does not do that. It actually kills the good guys along with the bad guys, causes a little ecosystem that you don't want. So also, the fluoride, what it does is it goes right by your blood-brain barrier because of its size and its properties. And fluoride is actually a byproduct of aluminum production. So fluoride, because of its properties, because it was made in the production of aluminum, it knows aluminum so well that it bonds to aluminum. And if you have aluminum in your body, when you put the fluoride in your body, the fluoride will bond to the aluminum, escort the aluminum to your brain, whereas the aluminum isn't easily transferred past the blood-brain barrier, but the fluoride is. And then the fluoride bond to the aluminum in your brain has, once it's crossed the blood-brain barrier, it actually has a chemical reaction, as well as mercury. Mercury and aluminum mixed together have a chemical reaction which continues and continues and continues. And you don't want a chemical reaction of two toxic neurotoxins continuing to create different toxins and react in your brain. You don't want that going on. So you want to avoid mercury from the flu shots and from the light bulbs, the CFLs. We talked about removing those from your house earlier. And then also avoid fluoride. Avoid fluoride in your drinking water. Avoid fluoride in your toothpaste, and even consider when you're buying a yerba mate or a kombucha, if it's just coming from tap water from Beverly Hills, you're ingesting fluoride. I had the luxury of having a friend who was 5 years old, this young lady, and she had fluorosis, and if she consumed anything with fluoride, her bones would hurt. And we got to see so many things that were tainted with fluoride, and it makes perfect sense. You can get a fluoride meter on Amazon or something like that for $200. We want to avoid fluoride so that we can avoid this buildup of toxins in our brains and chelate as much as possible. And also, I highly recommend sauna. Detox in the sauna, infrared sauna, regular sauna, sweat, and get these fluids moving. You want to get these toxins out of your body. Yes, maybe we're being exposed to them, but we can also get them out of our bodies by embracing the knowledge and the truth that's readily available for us to get our vessels up to speed so we can vibrate at a higher vibration. And, you know, these things won't impact us as much as we do that.
Hey, Matt, we have about 30 seconds left, and I thank you so much for being on the show. Your website real quick one more time, and we'll end the show by everybody singing New You You And I would like you to invite you back on our show after you come out with version 2 of your next movie.
That would be great. I look all forward right. to it. And please, please find me on YouTube, Matt Landman, on Facebook, Matt Landman, on Instagram, Sparrow Gear, SPEROGEAR, Sparrow Protection Clothing, SPERO Protection Clothing, ActualActivists.com, and FrankenSkiesTheMovie.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for your support. And I look forward to hearing from anybody out there. Email me at FrankenSkies@gmail.com, and then please look out for FrankenSkies 2, or even support at GoFundMe.com/FrankenSkies2. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Matt. And everybody on the count of three, saying new you, and we'll end the show for today. Thank you, everybody, for participating. Okay, 1, 2, 3. New you. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.